Welcome to a special four-part series we have presented in the past on 89.1 KHOI FM, Story City, Ames, and surrounding communities, Science Bites. I am Mike Metz, along with Sam Wormley. We hope you enjoy this presentation, a dramatization of some basic astronomy facts. Conversations with Papa Joe was taken from Alan Lightman's A Modern Day Yankee in a Connecticut Court and other essays on science.
Quoting from Alan Lightman's A Modern Day Yankee in a Connecticut Court and other essays on science. Conversations with Papa Joe. The second evening. The next evening, I hurried through dinner, and about 8 o'clock I went to my study, and I lit up my pipe and drew furiously, filling the room with great clouds of smoke. But nothing happened. Then, when I started to feel dizzy, Papa Joe appeared, just as he had the night before. He stood tall and erect for a moment, and then sat down across from me in his chosen chair. For a while, neither of us spoke. Papa Joe seemed to be enjoying the aromas wafting from the pipe, and I hated to interrupt his pleasure. I'd filled the pipe with my own blend of Cavendish and Burley, but as it happens with any old fine briar, all of the tobaccos he'd ever smoked in it had left their own flavors behind in the bowl and were now drifting through the room. I'm happy you came back. I hope our conversation last night didn't upset you.
I must admit, your modern view of the heavens takes some getting used to. It strains me to picture a galaxy and its billions of suns. I have a much easier time picturing a house with the plans and drawings scattered out all in front of me.
Perhaps that's because you've put a lot of houses together with your own hands. You know how the marks on the drawings will turn into windows and doors.
Just what I was getting at. It seems that your astronomers want me to imagine an enormous building I've got no way of touching, and neither do they. All they've given me for blueprints are photographs of small white dots and arguments. The reasoning is sound, I'll agree, but I keep remembering Aesop's astronomer who walked outside every night looking up at the sky until one night he fell into a well.
Oh, don't worry, I said, laughing. We won't go venturing off out of our chairs. We can continue last night's tour just fine from where we are sitting.
Good. Let's get on with it. You left off with the galaxies, far apart, like little islands in space, except they're not little.
Now you have to imagine that these galaxies are flying away from each other at great speed, I said. That we learned about 50 years ago from Professor Hubble, who discovered that galaxies appear redder than they should be if they are standing still.
Hold on, you've lost me there.
Well, let me try and explain with an analogy to sound. When something making a sound moves, the pitch of the sound changes. It goes up when the thing's coming toward you, and down when it's going away. The faster the speed, the greater the shift in pitch. You've probably noticed the effect by a passing train. When it's approaching, the pitch of the whistle rises, and when it's going away, the pitch drops. The old gentleman nodded.
I know trains pretty good. The LNN ran next to my quarry. Many times I heard that falling shriek as it passed, but I never thought much about it.
Well, the same kind of thing happens with light. In light, what corresponds to pitch is color. When a source of light is moving toward you, its color goes up in frequency, which means it becomes bluer. When it's moving away, it gets redder. At ordinary speeds, the change in color is so slight that your eyes can't see it, but certain very sensitive instruments can. Hubble had one of these fastened to his telescope while he was studying galaxies. When he found that their colors were shifted toward the red, he concluded that the galaxies were traveling away from him in all directions. What's happening, we believe, is that every galaxy is rushing away from every other galaxy like dots painted on an expanding balloon. The whole universe is expanding.
Hold on, young man. You understand this business of colors much better than I do. But it seems to me that if the galaxies are flying off, We should see them more in our telescopes, shouldn't we?
Not if they're very far away. Motion at a great distance is hard to detect. Galaxies are so far away that they seem to be standing still, even in telescopes. Fortunately, we have our spectrometers.
I'm beginning to feel better and better about being anchored to this chair, with the universe flying apart around me. I never guessed so much commotion was going on out there.
You are in very good company. Aristotle convinced everybody that the universe was perfectly steady, and people believed him for 2,000 years. He had some exhausting arguments, and there wasn't any evidence to the contrary, not until Professor Hubble.
And if I understand you, you're saying that after all those centuries of peaceful nights under the stars, your modern astronomers have decided that creation is bursting apart on the strength of some gadgets looking at little smudges of light through a telescope?
That's what I'm saying, and I believe it, although I admit it goes against what I see when I look up at the sky. I got up and took out a pipe cleaner from my desk near the window. My great-grandfather sat in it, twitching his mustache.
I reckon common sense isn't worth much in this business.
It seems to me common sense is what you learn from personal experience. But we're talking about things that you can't possibly experience. Not with your human senses, anyway. A good deal of science these days is beyond the senses, and it isn't all that common. The only way we can get there is to start with what we're dead sure about, and then climb out a bit, standing on solid logic, then climb out a little further, inching your way along, and making certain that each step is firmly supported by the one below. Sometimes you take what you thought was a little step, and you find yourself hanging in thin air. And then you have to grab on and scramble back a few rungs. One way or another, you eventually get so far up, you can't see where you started. And that's where you need to have faith.
I'll bet nothing compares to that feeling of being up in the clouds, with the ground out of sight, and knowing the strength of your ladder. That must be how Shapley felt. And Hubble, I wish I'd been there.
So do I. Those guys had faith, but well-grounded faith, I believe. Take Hubble's, for example. The same spectrometers that we point at galaxies, we also point at light bulbs set in our lab. And we're darn sure that the light bulbs are not moving, and how fast. The theory checks out. So if galaxies aren't flying apart, as we think, then the laws of nature in space are different from those here on the ground. That would be illogical. If 1 and 1 makes 2 over here, 1 and 1 should make 2 over there. Or else all of science would be in a terrible mess and scientists would be out of work. Let's assume that Dr. Hubble was right and that the universe is expanding. That means that it was smaller and denser in the past. Papa Joe nodded cautiously, like a man readying himself for the pitch of a used buggy whip salesman. Then if you mentally go back in time, I went on, the galaxies get closer and closer together. Eventually, they touch and merge and become a single mass, which gets denser and denser. Planets and stars lose their boundaries. Atoms get ripped apart and crushed together. Everything gets squeezed closer and closer together. And finally, there comes a definite time in the past when all the matter of the universe is compressed into a single point. Astronomers can estimate the time by measuring how fast the universe is expanding. It's about 14 billion years ago. 14 billion years ago, according to the theory, the universe exploded from a point and was born. Scientists call that beginning the Big Bang. The old gentleman was busily working his mustache again. Furthermore, he'd abandoned the safety of his chair and was pacing the room, narrowly missed the logs piled by the fireplace.
On the strength of some gadgets looking at little smudges of light through the telescope. Oh, I used to think I had chutzpah.
Well, it comes with the profession these days, I said. Just then, the church clock struck 10 in the distance. Papa Joe produced from his vest pocket a beautiful gold watch, flipped open its cover, and nodded appreciatively. When he saw how taken I was with the watch, he handed it to me to look at more closely. Then he began complaining about the Big Bang. There's something else that adds weight to this 10 billion years, I offered. Stars and planets began forming soon after the universe began, so the Earth has to be younger than the universe. but probably not a whole lot younger. At the beginning of the century, before people had any idea of the Big Bang, some chemists found a way to tell how old the Earth is. Special kinds of atoms are continually changing into other kinds of atoms, and in a regular way. For example, uranium atoms change into lead atoms. And if you start off with a rock that's pure uranium, after a certain number of years, half of it will be lead. After that number of years again, three-quarters of it will be lead. And so on. So by measuring the amount of uranium and how much lead are in the same rock at any point in time, and assuming the laws of nature don't change in time, you can figure out how long it's been since that rock was pure uranium. About 20 years before Hubble made his measurements on the galaxies, some chemists dug up a few rocks, part uranium and part lead, and used them to estimate the age of the Earth. It came out to be about 4.5 billion years, nearly a third of the age of the universe, according to Hubble. In other words, the figure that astronomers get by looking at far-off galaxies through a telescope is roughly the same as what chemists and geologists get by looking at rocks under their feet. It amazes me how these two numbers agree.
An interesting story. The faith of one scientist holds up the faith of another. That's good. But it's still faith. As you were saying before, you can measure your atoms and galaxies until hell freezes over. But I doubt if you're going to know for sure how old the universe is, or even if it has an age.
Not by being there at the start, I had to admit. The entire recorded history of human beings goes back only 10,000 years. Our whole species goes back only 100,000 years. I was getting drowsy, and the fire was low, as I lazily rose from my chair to put another log onto the fire. I turned and noticed that Papa Joe was also beginning to fade. He was standing in front of a bookshelf, lost in thought, and various titles slowly started to appear through his dissolving form. Walden, The Double Helix, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. I hoped he would come back again. To be continued.